What do you guys really see, like, long term, Keegan Murray doing for these for this team? Because you know, saw him in that summer league, and I'm like, wow, this guy can be a top four in the league very soon.
In summer league, he was getting whatever he wanted, and if he could get 60% of that, you know, in the regular season, it's just scary. I think it's terrifying. I was like, I've never been more upset at the Portland Trail Blazers in my entire life for any reason. Like, my brother and I were watching the draft together, and we were like, what the, no! Like, we screamed like little boys. We were like, what the hell?
Hey, it's Daly. This is part two of our conversation from Tuesday. Enjoy.
I got a quick question for you, Daly.
What's up?
Who do you think has been the winners of the offseason so far, including the draft?
Dude, man, I hate to say this, but the freaking Pacers, like, I'm jealous of their haul. Jairus Walker's a stud. And then all their youngs, even their players from last year, they got Mathurin, like, their future is so bright. And then having Obi Toppin, like, freaking Tyrese is going to make Obi Toppin so much money.
Oh, yeah.
That's like some Chris Paul to DeAndre Jordan shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. He gets up, like, even quicker than DeAndre. Well,
and he shoots threes. He could shoot three. Like, he's becoming a complete player. Scary. Nobody else comes to mind.
In the West, like when you started it by saying, you know, I hate to say it, because all to me, like, I think a lot of the teams that we as Kings fans dislike, I feel like they got a little bit better. I think the Warriors like got like a pretty decent draft haul between Podzimski and Trayce Jackson-Davis. Who knows how the Chris Paul thing is going to work? It probably won't, but they could always like flip him later on as well. And you know, I don't even know like what he would be worth nowadays. Maybe they can't get anything for him at all. But who else did they sign? They signed somebody else. Dario Saric. I like that move for them. Kind of under the radar move that, you know, he's not going to like score a bunch of points for them, but he's probably will fit in their system. And then I thought the Mavericks, they drafted well. I thought I think that Lively might not be the guy right away that they hope that it'll be, but I think that like long term, he seems like he's got some interesting tools working in his favor.
All they have to do is hit their shots. Their open shots with Luka.
They got Omax from us, and who did they sign? I mean, they brought Kyrie back. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. And I also thought that the Lakers, unfortunately, you know, got a little bit better too.
That's upsetting, man.
Yeah, I mean, they got Max Lewis like super deep in the draft, right in the 40s or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sweat that just because we don't know what he's going to be during the regular season. I mean, he seems to be playing pretty decent in summer league, but I think it's more been the Max Christie show for them.
Right.
But I mean, it's anytime you have LeBron, it's like you have a chance, and it's disgusting. So,
yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, these are just moves around the edges that, like, I do like. And some of these rookies, they're just – who knows what they're going to be. So it might just be, you know, making like kind of a worry about, you know, not much at all. Hopefully it's more of that and less of like, you know, some of these teams are like more of threats than they were last year. Cause I just named three teams, right, that were below the Kings, and the Suns, they loaded up, they were below the Kings. I mean, the Grizzlies, you can probably count on them having a rough start to the season with Ja out and all that stuff. So, you know, maybe you've got them going down a couple tiers. But, yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be, like, super competitive. It always is in the West, but, you know, it's not getting easier.
I'll just say this, and then I want Paul Hitzbrenner to speak. But anytime you're in the Chris Paul business, it's bad business to me. I don't have faith in him in the postseason, and maybe in a limited role or something. He'll just do something magical with the Warriors, but I just don't believe in him at all. And also in all those teams that, you know, loaded up on players, it's like they're all older. So, and I'm not wishing injury on anybody, but anytime you deal with the older stars, there's a risk of availability, lack of availability. You know what I mean? Paul Hitzbrenner, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to add about the Mavericks. They also added Grant Williams, which was like kind of an under-the-radar, underrated signing. I think it was a trade. They traded like a couple seconds and a player. Like it was a three-team deal, but it was like a super great value. And that's just another addition for them. That's like, that's going to go a long way for them. He's a quality player for a lot of reasons that I know us Kings fans discussed over Twitter. You know, a lot of us wanted to sign or trade from him. So interesting.
It's almost not even fair because he's the type of player that is going to get Luka a chip if everything falls the right way for them. And then they got our guy Rashawn, man. It's like that hurts a little bit. I'm looking at their roster right now, and I still see holes. It's just a little weird for me. But, they're going to be in there just because they have Luka and Kyrie. Hopefully Kyrie plays, you know, at least 65 games and doesn't have any issues. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. Western Conference is going to be a freaking shark tank. Calling in from Vegas, we got Brandon. Me to get him in here. He's a Grizzlies guy. Brandon, what are you doing, man? You're doing this wholesome, nerdy thing, calling into a space, and you're in Las Vegas right now. That's weird. What's going on, sir?
Dude, you know, I can't stay away from basketball talk, bro. Even out here in even out here in Vegas, I can't stay away. Like I just can't.
Good for you, man. With all the things that you could be getting into in Vegas, I mean, you're calling in the space. I didn't even call into my own space, dude.
No, unfortunately, I have to like call in a little bit early tonight. I'm covering the Grizzlies game. It's the first game in the morning. It's like 12:30, so I have to be at Thomas and Mac pretty early. So no tomfoolery tonight. No heavy hooligans tonight. Tomorrow, though, that's a different story.
Oh yeah, have you done any shenanigans?
No, man, nothing too big, nothing huge. But good again, after
yeah, my biggest thing was going to my favorite taco place. That's it. That was
okay. What's the place?
Risky.
I'm always looking for
Tacos El Gordo.
Tacos El Gordo.
There's two locations. But anyways, what's going on?
Keep this quick. I know you guys were kind of shutting down, but wanted to ask about my dude Keegan Murray. Love Keegan Murray. Loved him coming into the draft. Thought that was just a home run pick, and it, you know, continues to be. And so I'm looking at the summer league, just absolute tear that he went on those few games, and I'm getting some crazy thoughts in my mind just thinking about his future, his potential, thinking about that on ball creation. So I just kind of want to ask this Kings community, what do you guys really see like long term Keegan Murray doing for this team? Because you know, saw him in that summer league, and I'm like, wow, this guy can be a top four in the league very soon.
Well, I'm going to shut up, and I think you added a half hour to this podcast. I'm going to let Paul Hitzbrenner and Peter talk. You guys could say how you feel. Go for it.
No, I'll go. I was not super high on Keegan during the draft time. Like I saw why other people liked him. But I also had some questions about just like how he scored in college, and coming into summer league, he shut me up pretty quickly. And he's been able to still like kind of surprise me a little bit, like every now and then. So it's really tough to say like what he could end up being. I will say like I'm a lot more bullish on his potential now than I was back then. And I mean, when people compare him to like Kawhi and like some of these other guys, I think that like it's really difficult to be able to tell like if he could ever have that type of effect. Like, you know, Kawhi, a team literally traded for him just for 1 year so he could win them a championship, and then he just like dipped, you know. Like, he, I don't think people really like remember, because his peak was just kind of like short-lived. I feel like he was really, really freaking good. And I mean, even if Keegan could get to like 65-70% of that, that's a really good player and probably the best player on the team. So
that's a multi-year all-star if 75% of Kawhi. Yeah
for sure.
Pollard's burner, you have anything to add?
Well, yeah, I just think that, again, like, I think as sometimes we chronically underestimate Keegan, I think Keegan already is a really good player. I can't stress enough, like, what he showed. And again, it's Summer League, and I know that we joke, like, don't ever react about Summer League. These are guys who 90% of them aren't going to be in the league. The ones who are, you know, a lot of them are barely making it. Keegan wasn't just good. He wasn't just very good. He's absolutely dominant. He looked out of place in Summer League. He was getting whatever he wanted. And if he could get 60% of that, you know, in the regular season, it's just scary. I think it's terrifying what he can do, what he might be able to do. I think he's already a very good player. I think his potential is untapped right now. And he's just going to continue to grow. And I'm excited, man. I'm here for it.
Well, the fact that he's already an elite movement shooter, which is a premium, you know what I mean, in this league, a premium skill, that's already a plus. Super coachable, a plus. Even before he started showing a bag mid-season, his passing was already excellent. So if you wanted him to be a hub next season, just for a little bit, I'm not saying for the whole game like Sabonis is or Fox is, but he could fulfill that role. Defensively, above average. He's not OG, all right? I'm not saying that, but he is above average. I feel like he could guard most people, stay in front of his man, and because he has a great feel for the game, aka a high b-ball like you, he can anticipate where his players are going, and he gets in the passing lanes and whatnot. But now that he's doing, this is Summer League, he's doing De'Aaron Fox-esque mid-range stuff, it's ridiculous. And so he said that he patterned his game after Chris Middleton. He has potential to be better than Chris Middleton. You know, and he has the measurables. His wingspan is 6'11", so it's like he's right there. It's just he's just not a super freak athlete like Jaren Jackson Jr. or anything like that, but he doesn't have to be. He's there.
I'm totally aware that a one versus one isn't always like a great, you know, a barometer of who's the better player. I'd love to see Keegan play one versus one versus Chris Middleton right now. Aside from the consistency of how long he's been doing it, and I might be talking out of my ass here, I think he's already as good as Chris Middleton. I think he can very quickly, I mean very quickly, first couple months of this season, be like, oh, holy shit, he's pushing Domas for second best player on this team. He's averaging 20 points a night. Like Popoff said earlier, just the sky is the absolute limit for Keegan. He has proven that just through his coachability, his willingness to learn and to adapt his game. And yeah, there were some things that looked a little shaky, you know, some of the ball handling and such. But that's, he's working on it. You know, he showed, like he said, that little, that that three-pointer step back on single dribble step back on Jaime Jaquez. Like, what the fuck was that? Like, holy shit! Like, that's you know, a James Harden looking play. That's a Zach LaVine looking play. Like, those are totally different players, but that's the level of of confidence that that player has. Oh yeah, I'm gonna dribble, step back, and just dagger in your eye because I can.
Like, oh yeah, and let's not forget that turnaround fadeaway over three defenders for no reason.
Yes,
right.
He was just flexing like the whole damn game. He was just flexing. Like, oh, let me see if I can do this. And I always do my Keegan voice, my Deuce Mason Keegan voice. Oh, let me see if I can do this. Oh yeah, I can. Like, he's such a badass, and I can't believe he's a king. And I'm so excited for what he's bringing, and I'm just stoked, man.
Well, I think it'll be better than Jaden Ivey, by the way. I called that draft night, and I said the Kings made the right choice there, and I think that's going to happen. I'm sure that's going to happen. But
and I totally get the Jaden Ivey hype. I love what he could do with his athleticism, and yeah, oh great, he's a human highlight reel when it comes to dunks. But it's come on, man. I as far as basketball feel and how they see the game, I'll take Keegan's basketball mind over or Jaden Ivey's any day of the week, and I'll take Keegan's heart as well.
Yeah, I think for me, as somebody who like kind of wasn't super like pro Keegan or whatever, like I wasn't pushing him per se. Like I wasn't, you know, if he was going to be the pick, I wasn't going to be like, you know, like super pissed, but I was also not just going to be thrilled. I guess he wasn't like the sexy pick in my opinion, and it was less of like Keegan versus Ivy as it was like Keegan as some of the other trade packages you could have got. There was like a rumor that Duarte and the six, I believe, which is what the Pacers had that year, was being offered. There was a rumor that the nine, which ended up being Jeremy Sohan and another player, possibly like Vassell or one of those other guys, those young guys, was being offered for so that obviously speaks to, you know, how good Keegan is, because all these players or all these teams were, you know, potentially trading up to pick him in this scenario. So maybe, you know, that's enough reason not to trade off of it. But I don't know. I guess I got kind of like bought into the, you know, well, they jumped in the lottery. So, you know, now this pick has like more value now. I think I kind of got ahead of myself with like the possibilities of like, you know, what could happen on draft night. And I was like more so underwhelmed than anything. And I honestly was maybe misled a little bit about this. Like Daly, I don't know if you watched him a lot in college.
No, dude, you know, I got receipts, man.
He scored most of his points like closer to the basket in college, right?
No. He was shooting difficult threes. He was doing crazy shit. And I feel like, and you know, I'm not going to say any names, but some people were saying, "Oh, Keegan's so boring." It's like, no, you just didn't watch games. Like, he was shooting turnaround corner threes for no reason. And yeah, he was doing.
I just remember him coming off like pin downs last summer and stuff, and everybody was like, "Holy shit! Like, he can do that." You know, like we were all kind of like a little bit surprised by that. So I don't know why. Some of the highlights that I saw, it looks like he had just like he was like bully balling. Like a little bit here and there. And so I guess I just kind of like made the assumption that, you know, he used his size a lot more.
And that's why, not to be a gatekeeper or anything, I always tell people during draft season, you need to watch at least a few games, watch a half. You know what I mean? You need the context. You need the context of a full game to see how someone plays. You know what I mean? Your eye test needs to match the eye test of just watching highlights. Because anybody can make a highlight and post somebody's best shit ever. You know what I mean? But to watch full games of somebody, which is why, you know, I was so high on Jaime Jaquez, because I've just watched him all year. So I know what he could do. And then everyone's acting surprised. And I'm like, I'm not surprised. I've seen him do it all year. My college watching was weak this past season just because the Kings were so good. I didn't have much time. So my knowledge is limited to just UCLA, Pac-12, and Chris Murray and a few other people. But
yeah, I mean, even with that said though, like you Bryant West and like maybe like another like one or two people on my timeline, I feel like I can consistently rely on when it comes to like, okay, who is this player, you know, like what are their, you know, their strengths and you know, possible question marks, all that stuff.
I think you're saying I need to get a life. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it.
Yeah, just a little subliminal there. Sure, you read through it though.
So I will say, I don't think the Kawhi comps are too far off. The fact that Kawhi, I mean, what makes him? He's not flashy. Neither is Keegan. Their movements are efficient. I'm not talking about stats. I'm talking about just the way they move along the court. They're not shaking and baking. They make roughly straight lines when they drive to the basket. They can do behind the back stuff and all that, but when they shoot, it's not a bad shot, and they make their shots. And I think that's what makes Kawhi great, is that he's clutch. So is Keegan. And that's what I see. And that's why, and not to mention the stoic mannerisms, totally Kawhi. I don't see how anybody can say that. It's just that Kawhi is so great that it's like, you don't want to do that, you know, for fear of sounding like a homer or anything like that. But man, I think it's totally reasonable.
I'll land my plane here by saying I really wanted Chris Murray to the Kings to happen. I wanted the brother on brother on the team. I know that had to be heartbreaking, but I really wanted that to happen.
I think I'm the one Kings fan that didn't. What about you guys, Scott? I mean, Paul Itzberner and Peter.
Oh, I'm such a homer, self-admitted. Like, I'm an absolute, you guys know that about me. I'm such a homer. I was like, I've never been more upset at the Portland Trail Blazers in my entire life for any reason. Like, my brother and I were watching the draft together, and we were like, what the, no! Like, we screamed like little boys. We were like, what the hell? But it did really interest me in what Monty had up his sleeve. You know, we don't know what's going on in the GOAT's mind. We don't know what McNair is up to. But I thought that was probably plan A, you know? And so when that didn't come to pass, I was like, okay, so what's the alternative here? I definitely did not see what we did coming. That was a shock to me. And then, you know, as we always do, we build the hype up for, you know, oh, is this for a big free agent acquisition? Are the Kings going to take a swing? And of course, they did the most Kings thing, which is just play it safe. But that's, you know, that's McNair's style, and he hasn't led us astray yet. And so I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, hell yeah, I wanted Chris Murray. That was most definitely what I was looking forward to. Definitely what I wanted. But you know, life goes on, and it is what it is. I think we did good stuff, and Chris is going to thrive over there in Portland. And but yeah, definitely wanted Chris.
Peter.
I guess I'm just going to sound like a Murray family hater, but I was not super keen on having him be the pick. And it wasn't so much as, like, you know, me disliking Chris Murray, the prospect. I just, at the time, I was, like, trying to sell myself on some of the bigger swings, like, even guys that probably may have been, like, considered reaches at 24, like CeeDee Sissoko, Leonard Miller, guys like that ended up like going late. I was like more so like locked into them, and admittedly, like, I didn't like check in a lot with, like, I don't know, like, you know, draft reports and, like, you know, just kind of like the rundown on like Chris Murray. But I feel like I've been able to like kind of get the gist from hearing other people that are like really into the idea talk about him. And I guess my other question mark was just like how the fit would be, just because we've got Lyles coming back, we've got Vezinkov coming over, Keegan and Harrison. And so, I mean, if you brought Chris Murray in, he might be one of the better defenders out of that group there. So maybe it's possible he sees the floor, you know, through that. But I guess I just had questions about like how much he'd play, and from a marketing standpoint, all that stuff, like, it would be a cool storyline, don't get me wrong. Like, as a fan, I'd like to see it for those reasons, just because I think it would be a fun season, it would be super wholesome, it would just be like, you know, a cool moment. But I don't know, I just kind of like, maybe I'm the type that gets a little bit too ahead of myself when it comes to like draft time, free agency. And, you know, I have like these expectations or whatever, or like hopes, I guess. And, you know, I just kind of considered Chris Murray to be more of like a safe swing, you know? So.
Yeah, no, I wanted the sexy pick. I wanted like Cam Whitmore to drop or Dariq Whitehead. I really wanted Omax. Just people like that. And then I was tracking Bryce Sensabaugh, who to me is still a stud. I'm not sure how he's doing in summer league. I don't even know if he's playing. Is he playing? Because I haven't heard his name at all. And just guys like that. And then James Naji, who's actually staying in Barcelona. So it's like I do one day want Monty McNair to take a fucking risk and get some, you know, 1% of the 1% athlete that's jumping out of the gym can touch the top of the backboard. I want that guy one day. I don't think he'll ever do it though.
I know that you're referring to the draft in terms of taking a risk, but I think that Monty McNair is still, his heart rate is still coming down from the risk of trading Halliburton for Sabonis. I think that we're good for one Monty McNair giant risk per 3 year. That's our kind of our quota.
Great point, man. Great point.
Yeah, he's like you said, he's, I don't think he's bullshitting us when he says he is willing to take those big steps. They just have to be calculated and they have to be the right step. He wants to be very sure if he's gonna put all his chips in and he's gonna win the damn pot. So I couldn't be happier with what happened with the Halliburton trade. It brought us to where we are. But I think it's going to be few and far between with Monty, at least until he really gets his feet under him. I think this is what his fourth season as GM. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this his fourth or his fifth?
I want to say fourth.
Okay, I think it's fourth.
Yeah, and I think Kings fans just want to be in the news. They just want shit to happen for no reason sometimes, and that's totally fair. I get it, but. You know, sometimes it's good not to be in the news and just to be that good low-key team that's just solid and doing their thing. You know what I mean? Let us be the Spurs in California. That's fine with me. You don't see them making, like, big splashy moves. They just happen to draft Wembanyama. Oh, and Peter, that's another team. I mean, besides Victor, but, man, watching City Sissoko live, I like his game a lot. He's everywhere. He's like a giant Keon Ellis. But more athletic.
Yeah, some of the passes he was making too, I was like, whoa, so he can distribute a little bit too. I mean,
yeah, he played point in Europe, so yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, I just knew of him as like a defender first and foremost, really. And that was what kind of interested me in him as a prospect more than anything. But like guys that are two-way that can, you know, affect the game on both sides of the floor, that's even better. But, you know, I've assume that at 24 he would have been like somewhat of a reach just because you don't know, you know, where his offense is going to land, I guess. But I don't know, I would have been fine with that swing too, because, you know, having the 38th pick and all that stuff, you could easily, you know, as a deep draft like we saw, we were able to get, you know, Colby Jones at 34. There would have been somebody that was quality at 38 too if Monty, you know, hadn't traded.
Oh yeah, up. Yeah. My own personal big board slash mock or whatever. You know, I felt like the tier was from 20 to 35 was roughly the same tier. You were going to get value there, and you know, and we did. I think they probably would have picked Colby Jones at 24. When I think about it,
yeah, yeah,
which would have been fine.
And not having the cap hold for the first round pick as well, because, you know, I guess second round picks don't get cap holds. It doesn't count against your, you know, how much money you can spend. Like he was pretty much like trying to maintain flexibility up until the last, you know, really like until the clock struck right around 11 or like midnight, where they just brought Barnes back and decided to bring Len and Lyles and all that. So I feel like he possibly had something else in mind, maybe something else splashier, but when it didn't materialize, he was just like, okay, we're just gonna bring our guys back and like play the long game.
Yeah, I'm dying to read. Like, I want to go forward in time 20 years, and maybe Monty McNair will have some freaking memoir. I want to see all the trades that didn't happen that we don't know about. You know that he's done so much that we don't know behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
Well, he's a mastermind of getting us in the news and then doing nothing. Like, it cracks me up how he seems like he's, you know, every time there's a, you know, Athletic or The Ringer or something where, you know, these teams are interested in taking a swing. It's like Bucks, Celtics, Hawks, Suns, Kings. Like, the Kings are always in there. And I don't know if that's just smokescreen, if that's just misdirection. Or for all I know, Monty could be taking these swings and just striking out. You know, that happens all the time in the NBA. GMs are trying to make stuff happen. And for all we know, you know, Monty could have much bigger balls than we give him credit for. It just, there's no real way of knowing. So yeah, a little black book, you know, via Monty McNair would be something to see for sure.
Oh dude, I would love it, man. All right, guys, I think I'm going to close up shop. I appreciate you guys coming through.